Well, I think we have experienced a little taste of revival this week in camp. I want to direct our thoughts to hanging on to that, to being able to stay in the fight. And just thinking as we're singing, you know, we have lots of things to be thankful for. But you know, the devil never gives up. he still hits below the belt. He still strikes. He still tempts. He still draws us away. And no matter how difficult the situation may be, the devil never says, "Well, I've given him a pretty good lick here. I'm going to leave him alone for a while." It's just never that way. I think that the Lord protects us. I think that He shields us and He keeps us from that. I think that one thing that when we've been on a spiritual high, one thing that we have to think about is that when Elijah came down from Mount Carmel after the contest with the priest of Baal, and there was that great victory there on the mountain, the next thing that we see him doing is fleeing, running from the queen, and in depression, and asking the Lord to take his life. I'm just here all by myself, and I'm all alone, and just go ahead and take me. So we can anticipate that the devil does not let up. He continues to try to strike us with depression and defeat. He tries to defeat us. He tries to. He doesn't stop. He that is in us is more powerful than he that's in the world. Our life could have been extremely different today than what it is. And I want to, someone has said, go on record to say that I praise God and give Him glory and honor that my bride is with me today. And I'm thankful for your prayers, and we're thankful for the way the church has surrounded us and prayed over us and brought us food. And someone had asked me about bringing food, and you just so much stuff you can get in your refrigerator, and then what do you do? I don't know. I don't know how to handle that kind of stuff. I know I've tried a couple of times to throw stuff in there and slam the door real quick before it fell in the floor, but I've figured out that doesn't work. But we are so appreciative of the food that you've brought and your prayers, and several of you have come and visited, and we really do appreciate that. Don't play. Gwen, she cannot stand for the vacuum cleaner. Not she got up and pushed the vacuum cleaner around the table, and I told her, I said, nobody's going to notice that. Just forget it. So if that bothers you, if you come to our house and there's manure on the carpet under the kitchen table, if you don't like it, the vacuum cleaner's in the first bedroom in the closet. You go get it and vacuum it up. But she's going to do it. You can't keep her from it. But I'm very, very grateful for the Lord's hand and having these kids saved. The difference between heaven and hell. The difference between heaven and hell. So how do we hang on to it? How do we keep the good thing going? How is it that we grab hold of revival and hang on to revival and keep that revival spirit stirred in our hearts? It's all up to the Lord, you know. It's all the work of the Spirit. The Spirit in our life working and stirring us to do that which is right and doing a work in our life. Now, I don't know about you, but I want what God has for me. Now I shy away from that, and sometimes I backslide into some kind of stew that would keep me from enjoying what God is doing in our lives and all around us and people being saved. But I really do, deep within my soul, I want what God has for me. And the devil tries to keep me from enjoying that. We're going to take back up later with the characters of Scripture, but right now I want us to look at revival. And what it means to have revival and how to hold on to the revival that we have in our lives. As we look at the revival in the new church in the book of Acts, the fourth chapter, beginning reading with verse 31. Three things that I want us to get out of this passage. That I want us to take home with us. Now, if you have a church bulletin, you should find within that an outline of today's message. And you'll be able to follow along with that as we have it on the PowerPoint. So, three things: boldness, power to witness, and great grace. Now, those are three things that you and I need in our lives if revival is going to be continuous in our lives. If we're going to be able to see that in our church and in the lives of our young people, then you and I have to demonstrate that every day in our life. Now, the devil's going to try to steal all those things away from us. He's going to try to steal away our boldness. Now, we're going to see in this passage that wasn't normal boldness. Now, I've been around bold people. But for the most part, it's boldness in their own attitude, in their own philosophy of life. They have a boldness in that. But it's not the boldness in the things of God. And so, these people had an unusual boldness about them in the things of God, in what God was doing in their life. And so, we want boldness, but we want it in the things of God. Man, it's not because I drive a Ford or a Chevrolet. It is because of the things of God. A boldness in what the Word of God said, what the Word of God teaches, and that we hang on to that. And the devil tried to steal that away. We just kind of cow back. If we let the devil have his way, that's what he would do in all Christians' lives, and especially right now. I'm seeing some boldness, aren't you? That's what you and I must have. Secondly, they had a power to witness. It wasn't just, well, we'll just say what it says on the card when somebody comes to the door. This is a supernatural power where the Holy Spirit of God is urging on us, the individual in the situation, as we meet up with folks who do not know the Lord, that there comes on us by the power of the Spirit an urgency and an urging to share the gospel with that individual. And that's what they had. That was a demonstration of revival. You know, revival isn't how high you can jump or how loud you can shout. That's really not revival. I mean, you can do that at a baseball game. You can do that at a basketball game. And you see people doing it all the time at games like that. It is a supernatural boldness, which is really unnatural, but supernatural. Supernatural boldness and a supernatural power to witness. And then they had a third thing in their life that we're going to look at in this passage. And the Bible says that there was great grace upon them. But I can't hardly wait to tell you what that's talking about. Great grace. You think, do you need grace today? Brothers and sisters, you have no idea how much grace you need. I don't have any idea how much grace I need. God's grace in my life. God's grace in my life empowers me to be the Christian that God has called me to be. Are you hearing me today? God's grace in my life empowers me to be the daddy that He's called me to be. God's grace in my life empowers me to be the husband that He's called me to be the granddad that He's called me to be, because I don't have it in me to be that. But He has it. He has it. He is all that I need. And great grace was upon them. Oh, I just can't do it. I just can't. Oh, yeah, you can. Because His grace is sufficient to meet what? All of our needs. He's got a sufficient amount of grace. And that means that He has a sufficient amount of power to carry us up the hill that you and I would not normally be able to climb, because of this wonderful grace that He is offering to us. Okay, let's stand together as I read this to you, and as you follow along in your Bible, Acts 4 and verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. Now, I don't know if you've noticed this or not. I'm jumping ahead here a little bit, but when God shows up, He shakes up. He shakes things up. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the Word of God with, here's our first word, boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles, here's our second word, witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And then here's our last one. Great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostle was surnamed Barnabas. Here's what we need right here. We need a room full of Barnabas. It's hard for me to say Barnabas is. But that's what we need. We need Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation. Now you know what that means. Comfort. Encourager. He's encourager. A Levite. And of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. You may be seated. In verse 31 and point 1, they spake the word of God with boldness. Their boldness was in the word of God. They spake the word of God with boldness. It wasn't their own word. It wasn't their own opinion. There was this supernatural. Their boldness was supernatural. They were filled. Here the Bible says that they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Now what does that mean? It means that the Spirit of God was in control. Be not drunk with wine, the Bible says, wherein is excess. But what's that next word? But be ye filled with the Spirit. Now, folks, if you pour water in a glass, it's just going to hold so much. If you put a bunch of other stuff in there with it, it will push the water out. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were full of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was in their life. The Holy Spirit was controlling the conversation. The Holy Spirit was controlling their tongue. The Holy Spirit was controlling their thoughts. They were filled with Him. I don't know if you've been keeping up with our little daughter. Her and Noah, her son, have been on a mission trip this week. And one of the posts that she made was, there's just coming this urge over me that I want to raise up my hands and praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. And someone texted back and said, raise and praise, let her rip, sis. The Holy Spirit, not something that's off the wall, not something that's wrong, not something that's pulling attention to ourself, but pulling attention to Him. I don't know if you've... The Word of God, the Bible, teaches us that when the Holy Spirit comes, He doesn't bring attention to Himself. He brings attention to Jesus. And that's how you tell the difference between a show and a real thing. He brings attention to Jesus. When God showed up, He shakes things up. The place was shaken. In the book of Isaiah 6 and verse 4, do you remember what was going on there? In that passage, it was in the year that King Uzziah died. All hope seemed to be gone. And Isaiah was in the temple. And God showed up. You remember that little story? In the 6th chapter of Isaiah? In the year that King Uzziah died. And the post began to move and shake. When God shows up, He shakes things up. Think about all the times in the Scripture whenever God shows up that He shakes things up. I mean, physically, things begin to shake. I mean, there is this power that is supernatural about God, and it's not some kind of tornado that has come through. It's not some kind of earthquake that has taken place. It is simply the power of God in the place where He is working. And it shakes, it moves. Remember the old boys in the jail at Philippi? And at midnight they pray and they sing. And the prisoners heard their prayer and they heard their songs, and the jailhouse begins to shake and the chains are broken off. In Acts 16, and suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundation of the prison were shaken. Secondly, they had power to witness. In verse 33 in the book of Acts, great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord. This word power literally means miraculous power. The power is the miracle itself. They had this power because they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Look with me back over at Acts, the first chapter. Look at verse 8. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Ephesians 5 and verse 18 commands us. It doesn't give us an option, but it commands us to be filled with the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, where the wine would control your speech, would control your walk, would control your thoughts, would control what is going on in your life. But here he says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit, so that the Spirit is that is controlling everything that is going on in your life. And then number three, great grace was upon them all. Verse 33, great grace. Grace gives you the power and the willingness to do that which you could not normally do under your own strength. A good example of that is how you deal with other people. If someone has done you wrong, how do you deal with them? If you've been hurt, how do you feel with that? How do you deal with that? Verse 32. They were of one heart, of one soul. This verse says that they had all things common. Well, people don't normally do that. They just don't normally do that. So in verse 34, this action itself is supernatural. Let's stand together. As Brother Nathan comes to lead us, as God's dealing with your heart to make a decision for Christ, and Shane, you come also. We'll give you an opportunity to make a decision today for Christ. These boys are going to run the invitation.